Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and reading verses 10 to 25. This is a time, of course, when David was fleeing, pursued by Saul, and he is in his garrison, and this is what happens. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Joshabim, the son of Hakamonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Aharite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pas Damimim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines. But they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now the three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaniah was the son of Jehadiah, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand there was a spear like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaniah, the son of Jehadiah, did, and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over his God. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we come to the beginning of another season of ministry that God has blessed us with. And And as we reflect on that, it's fitting then that we look at this passage, because this passage does speak about servants of God that were under David, and does speak about their heroic acts as they served David, because he was, of course, the anointed of the Lord, and they gave themselves to his service. And we, of course, have given ourselves in the service to the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son. And we are called to be light and salt, as we've said already a number of times, and as instruments of righteousness. And as we've also reflected upon, there are times that we are called to stand firm. I mean, the people that went to work on that tragic day never thought that they would be called to such service. They never imagined. They didn't plan for it. They didn't say, well, you know, we have to prepare. Today's going to be a day that where we're going to have to stand and look evil in the face and not run. No one expected it. It came so quickly. And when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know when those times are going to come. But we have to be ready for them. We have to know our calling. So why didn't they just run away when those things happened? Because that was their calling. That's what they were. That was their job. The firemen and the police, that was their job. And when you were hearing, and maybe if you saw it yesterday, there were testimony that somebody was injured and the guard was just standing there watching over. He wouldn't leave. He was in the building and he was watching this person. And he stayed there to comfort this person. He could have said, look, my life is in danger. I'm going. Too bad. You have to take care of yourself. But he stayed there. And as I've said, others, the firemen going up. What a sight. You just can't forget that, can you? People going to safety, others going to their death. That was their job. And they carried it out. And we as believers, we are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a much greater enemy than the terrorists of that day. And there are times that we will come face to face with that. Face to face with the devil and his instruments. And we have to be ready. And notice that on that day, it wasn't just the people whose job it was to protect others and to help others, but there was ordinary people that found themselves in that position. They didn't say, well, I'm not the police. I don't want any part of it. Just leave me out of it. No. The responsibility fell to them. Those who were on the plane, they couldn't phone 911 and say, look, we've been hijacked. Come and help us. There was no one to help them. And as they understood, as they phoned their loved ones, the responsibility was theirs. And they took it. And they took it. Even to the point of laying down their life. For what? They could have sat there. No. They knew what the purposes were of these men. They'd heard it on the telephone by their loved ones that planes had crashed into the World Trade Towers. And that's likely what they were going to do with theirs. And they stood in that place and decided that they weren't going to let that happen. And so ordinary people. And so it is with us as believers. It's not just up to the missionaries. It's not just up to the ministers. Not just up to the elders. No, at times you will find yourself staring evil in the face. You will find yourself with the responsibility of fighting that battle of being a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, of exposing evil for what it is. People of God, we can't be those that just turn our face away and walk on by. We can't be those that say, you know, I have a life to live. I have responsibilities to take care of. I can't risk all of those by getting involved. People of God, that's why we're here. God doesn't need your possessions. God doesn't need whatever you're building up for this life. Not that it's wrong, you understand, to take care of your needs. But God doesn't need those. He has mansions prepared for you already. He has work for you. That's why he leaves us in this world. He has a work for you to do, to carry on the proclamation of the gospel and to save those that are trapped, those that are being dragged to eternal hell itself. That's what he has for us. You know it and I know it. They don't know it. They don't know it. But we know it. And we have been given the means to rescue them, to bring them to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so each of us, not only by looking at those events of 9/11, can look at ourselves and say, how would I respond? How would I take on that kind of responsibility? How am I taking on that responsibility in my daily walk as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, as I said, we have to be the mighty men of God. And though there are those that are called to those offices, the ordained offices, like these men that were in the army of David, yet it falls to us all in certain times to stand, even as you remember the priest did when David was fleeing. What was he going to do? Take the side of David? Against Saul? But he did, didn't he? He gave David the sword of Goliath. He gave David bread. And for that, he lost his life. And many in his family were killed because of it. But he stood. He stood and played his part to protect the anointed of God. And in that sense, our redemptive purposes. So the first thing is, then, that we need to be brave in the Lord. Even when we're alone. Even when everyone else leaves us, abandons us, or they're not around. As it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 11, that this man that David had, Jerushim, the son of the Hakamonite, chief of the captain, he lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. He was on his own. He didn't have an army with him. But what does he do? Does he say, well, I'm outnumbered. That's it. Let's flee. No. He stood firm. He wasn't on his own. And notice that he was a chief. And he took on these 300 men. He didn't say, I'm the chief. Let's send some of the men under me. It's their job. No. He went. He was there himself. He took that responsibility seriously. He was vested in that. He believed in what he was doing. It wasn't just a job for him. As I said, to send others and him stay behind. No, no, no. He was chief, and yet he went. And as it were, dirtied his hands. And he stood firm. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the ruler. He was the Lord of Lords. And yet, he didn't send his apostles to the cross. He himself took that lonely walk. In fact, they all fled. He told them that they would. He took that journey by himself. for you and for me. Sometimes people are too concerned about what others are doing or not doing. We think about of our service and we say, well, what is everyone else doing? Let me compare notes. No, it's not about that. It's not about that at all. We're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we're alone or whether we're with 300 people, it doesn't matter. We need to stand firm. God will provide all that we need. But you don't need more incentive than one that has already been given to you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. You need no more incentive than that. He's given you everything he has. You need to give him everything that you have. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. You owe your life to him. And this man showed that commitment to David, to the Lord, to his anointed. And when he stood there facing this enemy, and remember, as we prayed, the enemy was attacking the people of God. The enemy was attacking the anointed of God. Here was what symbolized, here was what represented the redemption of this world, and they were attacking it. That's why they stood so firm. That's why we have all the imprecatory psalms in the Old Testament. It's not that they hated people and wanted burning coals on their heads. No, that's not what it was. It was they loved the gospel. They loved the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was the only hope of these people that were trying to kill the only hope that they had. It's not a personal vengeance that we have against people that we speak this word, these words, and take these actions. It's because they're cutting the branch upon which we all sit, upon which they sit, and they don't know. And so we have to stop them in their tracks. And this man, a leader, understood that. And so he stood, and he fought, and he prevailed. At one time, David was faced with the Philistines, we're told, and was not well prepared. They were in a barley field, we're told, and that was the only place that they had to stand instead of the usual way that they set up for battle. And the armies positioned themselves. And the Philistines, as you know, were very strong. And so here they found themselves in this predicament. And the other thing that happened, we're told, is that everyone else fled. The people fled. And so here they were in this barley field on their own. And so it says in verse 13, so the people fled because they saw that they were in a disadvantaged place. They fled. But it says, verse 14, they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory. As I said, there are times that we look at the response of other people and we think, well, why should we go? I mean, if they're not prepared to do anything, why should we? No. We have to stand for God's truth, whether other people stand for it or not. We have to show allegiance to God's word. Sometimes that happens, you know. I mean, we've experienced it in our own lives in terms of separating from a denomination. And the temptation could have been, and I'm sure many people use that argument, well, you know, we're 1,000 churches, and the other churches are not that concerned about it. And therefore, why should we? Why should we leave some 60-odd churches in comparison to 1,000 that are staying? Are we the only ones, right? You want us to take this step and leave our mother church? No. We have to fight for the truth. Not for some insignificant matter that we raise to such a height. No. When it's the word of God that is being undermined, we have to take a stand. And whether we're small in numbers or not, doesn't matter. We need to take our stand. And these men stood in this barley field against these Philistines. And though they saw other people running, they weren't affected to follow suit. They stood their ground and they had a victory over the Philistines. People of God, don't ever fear the devil and all his hosts. When God is on our side, we are in the majority. When the prophet stood surrounded by the armies, the Syrian armies, he saw the mighty hosts of God between him and the armies, and he didn't flinch and experience a great victory. No, we have to be persuaded. We have to be absolutely assured. As John says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I mean, what more does God have to show you when he humiliated the devil? When he disarmed him, made a public spectacle of him, and saved you are an example of that. He saved you from the kingdom of darkness and death and brought you into the kingdom of light. The devil could do nothing to stop him. He has him in the palm of his hands. He's like an animal that is on a leash. Yes, he's fearsome to us, and we have to take him seriously. But let's not elevate him to such a position that we think that we will lose, even with God on our side. We will not lose. We need to stand firm. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we need to stand with God himself. And these mighty, they stood against mighty foes as well. I mean, we're given many examples of this one leader called Benaniah. And we're taught that he fought against two of the Moabite giants, we might say. I mean, you know what happened with Goliath. I mean, everyone was scared of him. Every day he would come up and challenge the armies of Israel, and everyone would flee because he was so big. And yet this man, we're not told how big he was, but he stood, he fought against them. So there are times that the odds seem against us. It seems that we're going to lose. There's no point. These are giants that we're facing. Well, the Philistines were. But we're not to look to the odds of this world. We're not to look to say, oh, who am I facing and how powerful? Oh, they're going to win. I'm going to run away. No. No. No, we're to stand firm. God will give us a victory. And David knew that, of course, because he had victory over Goliath. But this man did the same. And then we're taught about that Egyptian who had a spear that was so big. And yet he went to him with a stick, basically, with a rod. Totally, hopelessly outnumbered. Hopelessly, he had more firepower, we might say. And yet he didn't turn around and run. Don't let the world and the devil intimidate you. He will. He said, you have no chance. I mean, sometimes we can be discouraged even in our nation, right? It seems that the unbelievers have the upper hand. They have more people. They have more influential people. They have more power, political power. We think, what chance do we have? No, we don't have a chance. We have a certainty. Certainty. As we believe the gospel and we preach the gospel, we stand firm under the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have the victory. Absolutely, we will have the victory. No, we don't. We begin another season with doubt. No. We begin another season with the same anticipation that we've had every year. Another year of victory. Another year that men and women and children that God has ordained will be delivered from the kingdom of Satan and added to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's happened every year, every century. The score has always been positive for the kingdom of God. The devil has never scored once. Not once. It's all been one-sided. People being brought from his kingdom to the kingdom of God. But people of God, we don't go forth as individuals, as an army that has no order. There's an order. God has built his church and he's given offices in the church. And so we are organized. We're not a disarray of people. And we have that here too. And we need to work jointly. We need to work as a body of Christ, as Paul speaks about it in Corinthians. We need to work together. And we have that here. And we have this shown in this remarkable way, that as David is in his garrison, and as he's thinking about Bethlehem, because he doesn't have access to it, which means the house of God. And so he's thinking about it, and he sighs, he's longing that he could, if only he could take a drink from that well which is by the gate. He's kind of talking to himself. And these three guys hear him. And they take it upon themselves to go to Bethlehem, which is in the hands of the enemy, and fight their way through to that well and bring water to David. And you think, what loyalty do these guys have? I mean, we might even say, kind of blind loyalty. I mean, we would say to them, what are you doing? I mean, you just... But they were so committed to the order, the structure that God had, and David was, of course, the representative of God's anointed. And they had such allegiance to him that they risked their lives to go and get him this drink. I mean, talk about solid loyalty in the men of David. I mean, how we need to long for it in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might be an army of God that recognizes the authority that God has set up, the order that God has set up, so that we might... I mean, any army that goes into battle and the soldiers don't respect and obey the various orders, various authority orders in there, that army is going to be defeated. Easily defeated. But here we have a way in which God emphasizes the closeness of these men. And it's not that David exploited them. It's not that David was some sort of Saddam Hussein that wanted every desire that he had satisfied, and he didn't care what they had to do it. That's what he wanted. David wasn't like that. David respected his men. And we see that in terms of what happens. Because when they bring the water to David, he is kind of taken aback. And when he sees that water, he's overcome. Overcome with the loyalty of his men. Really overcome with the loyalty of his men to him, but really it was loyalty of his men to the God himself. And so he looks at this water and he would not drink it. I mean, they risked their lives, but he wouldn't drink it. What did he do? He poured it out to the ground. And what was he saying by doing that? He was saying, I'm not worthy for you to do this for me. What you have done is to the Lord. And so he pours it out, not in terms of waste, but as an offering to God himself. It was to him and loyalty to him that they had reflected. And he wanted to acknowledge that. He wasn't some tyrant, but he himself was a servant of God. And he was one that was willing to lay down his life as well. People of God, when we act together as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we respect the offices that God has laid down, it's not those offices that we're so concerned about, in a sense. It's to God that we're showing our Lord to be. And so often we think we're doing it to the men. And when we're not happy with them, we don't want to do anything for them. No, no, no. You're not damaging them by doing that, even though you think you are. What you're damaging is the cause of Christ. That's what you're damaging. And so we need to make sure that we work as a family. We work as an army of God. We need to respect the way that God has organized us. And yes, the elders are not going to be perfect. Yes, the minister is not going to be perfect. Yes, the deacons are not going to be perfect. Yes, the Bible study leaders are not going to be perfect. None of us are. But we do need to respect one another. We do need to pray to one another. Because the cause that we want to succeed is not some personal goal of somebody else. It's not a personal goal for the minister to say, look what a wonderful church I have. Look how wonderful I am. No. It's for the cause of Christ to be advanced. And for that, each of us needs to swallow our pride. Each of us needs to give of our talents for the well-being of God's people and for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find that God is one that doesn't simply give out orders and say, look, I've done enough for you. You have to work for me now. You're like my indentured slaves. He's not like that. He honors us. I mean, these men were honored. And we're told he wasn't one of the three, but he was honored. And these mighty men are seen as heroes of David. They were recognized, as God recognizes us too. The Bible speaks about that, doesn't it? In fact, it speaks about those that gave their lives for the cause of the gospel, for the truth. They're honored in heaven. They're honored here on earth as well. Those that serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his righteousness and suffer for it do not go unnoticed. They are recognized as heroes of faith. And as I say, David recognized that too as he poured the water to the ground and acknowledged their loyalty to the Lord himself. God doesn't forget. God doesn't ignore the times that perhaps you're on your own and you serve him at great cost to yourself and risk. He doesn't miss it. No, he rewards his people. He doesn't have to. There's no reason for him to do so. He's done enough for us, but he does it. People of God, we don't worship a God that cares nothing about us. I mean, how can we even say that in the light of the cross? No, no, no. He loves us. He's honored us as being the children of God. He's given us that privilege. And who knows how he's going to reward us. It is something that I can't fathom. What is he going to do? Other than what he's done already. By making it me his child. And making me a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet God will honor his people. So as we start this new season, we need to act collectively. We need to act because the enemy is strong and vicious. But we have the power to rescue people from its clutches. God is calling you. And he's going to give you opportunities, and they're going to come perhaps when you least expect them. But let's be ready. As a church of the Lord Jesus Christ and as individual Christians, let us be ready and help the cause of Christ move forward and that victory, eternal victory, be closer and closer. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come before you this morning and we do thank you and praise you for the fact that you lead us into battle. And our Father, that we have that great assurance that we will win. And though the enemy is strong and appears to be in full control of this world, yet, our Father, we know that victory is assured. And our Father, we pray that you would give us the courage that we need to stand firm when everything around us is chaotic and threatening. Lord, to stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak those words of hope, of comfort, of peace. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless your church, not only in this place, but throughout this nation and indeed throughout the world. For we know that this struggle is not in one nation, but in all the world. And our Father in heaven, we pray that your kingdom would indeed grow and that all those that you've ordained to eternal life would be safely brought in. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless us today and throughout this year. For we pray all of these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.